So hi everybody, my name is Marty Motoyama, and the title of my talk is Measuring Service Availability Using Twitter. This is work that I did with Brendan and Krill and Stefan and Jeff over at UCSD. All right, so as we've seen today, there's been many interesting studies that have emerged analyzing the graph properties of social networks. Much of the prior work on online social networks is primarily focused on the network itself and how information flows through the network. You know, but one question is there more to OSNs than the network part of their namesake? Well, yes, at any given time, there are a massive number of events, sentiments, and musings being disseminated throughout the OSN. These real-time updates capture, often reflect real events that are occurring in the lives of the users. An example of the type of information being communicated throughout online social networks is a natural phenomena. At WWW 2010 this year, Sakaki et al. Described a system that uses Twitter to detect the epicenter of earthquakes and trajectories of typhoons. They make this this very powerful statement that OSNs can be considered human-sensor networks. This is a very powerful idea. It really captures the utility of the latent information that's present on online social networks, and the need to filter and decipher the output from the noisy human sensors. In our work, we're going to look at service availability using Twitter. So why look at Twitter and some background information about Twitter? You guys are probably sick of this by now. But Twitter is a real-time microblogging service. In the Twitter social network, users post 140-character-long updates or tweets. Shown on the screen here is an example from user John, who's complaining that the internets are wonkers. So, of course, this example was chosen on purpose because it illustrates, you know, the core concept in this talk. Well, why should we look at Twitter? Well, Twitter offers a number of attractive properties. They have over 75 million users, and I think I've heard as high as 160 million today. These users are all posting a large amount of content, 30 million tweets per day. And as I mentioned previously, we're going to look at analyzing service availability. So why is this important? Well, monitoring and diagnosing internet failures is a well-studied problem in the networking domain, and it's important for a number of reasons. Consumers and corporations alike are all moving toward cloud-hosted services. A recent report I read said that about 1.75 million businesses are using a paid-for version of Google Apps. And everyone expects that these services are always on. Yet in 2009, we observed a number of notable outages that made headlines, particularly those involving Gmail. And detecting outages in a timely manner is very important, as outages translate to lost productivity and lost revenue for a company. So the hosting company Rackspace, in the summer of 2009, experienced several different outages during the summer. They had to issue about $3.5 million worth of customer credits as a result of these outages. So, you know, but why look at online social networks in this particular problem domain? There's a number of good automated services out there like Keynote or Pingdom that can do this all for you. Well, the nice thing about OSNs is that there are millions of users literally dispersed throughout the globe, and all these millions of users are offering you different perspectives on your site's operational status. For example, a user might think a site is failing because it's loading too slowly, they're receiving JavaScript errors, or perhaps images are not rendering properly. So, an example is shown on the screen here in reference to the recent iPhone 4 fiasco. This particular user here was not able to click the final button in the checkout, so they weren't able to order their iPhone 4. Also, there's no need to specify services a priori. For example, if you wanted to observe correlated failures, you could do this using an online social network. For example, when Rackspace went down, it takes down all the companies that are hosted on that particular hosting service. So throughout the remainder of this talk, I'm going to constantly refer back to the Greek Gmail outage of September 1st, 2009. If you try to log on to Gmail that day, you're probably greeted with this error message. For those of you that don't know or recall this event, because you don't use Gmail, news of this event spread over a lot of traditional news outlets like PC Mag and CNET. Note that the outage occurred at approximately 12:30, and this CNET posting happened at approximately 1:30. So while news sites are one vector for acquiring knowledge about real-world events, an alternate and perhaps more timely way to do this is to use an online social network like Twitter. So just to lead into the next slide, you know, this TechCrunch post asks if anybody else has seen problems with Gmail. If you referred to the Twitter community, he would have seen that a lot of people were witnessing this the same event. and they were all tweeting about it. This screen cap shows people continuing to tweet about the event after it occurred. The reason why I chose it was because there's a tweet on here that I really like, which is that this user tweeted that Gmail went down and you just cried about it on a Twitter, which exactly captures the core concept of this paper, or at least the concept explored in this paper. So this is the outline for the remainder of the talk. I'm going to briefly discuss the data collection, dive into detecting outage tweets, talk about raising alarms, go into a brief section about, I'll go into a section about evaluation, and then I'm going to conclude. So data collection is, it's done in a traditional way. We use the traditional Twitter API. We utilize 80 whitelisted IP addresses to crawl users present on Twitter, and the retrieved data was stored onto the Amazon S3 cloud. In the end, the data we collected was comprised of 2.8 billion tweets. It's close to 800 gigabytes of content, and those tweets spanned 3 years. So using this data set, we manually inspected tweets that appeared during known outages. We noticed that individuals predominantly posted the update that blank is down, where blank corresponded to a service name. To make this a little bit more formal, we performed some manual validation. We extracted tweets, and then we hand-labeled them according to whether we thought they were about outages or not. We extracted tweets from these four events here. Our labeling efforts produced 878 tweets that were about outages, and we found that the top bigram was is down, and the top hashtag that was not a service name was pound fail. This suggested to us that probably very simple heuristics can work in this particular problem domain. So the first heuristic we use just checks to see whether the tweet contains the phrase is down, an example of which is shown on the screen, again in reference to the iPhone 4 pre-ordering fiasco. The second heuristic we use checks to see if the tweet contains the fail hashtag in one of two forms. In the first form, the service name is concatenated with the word fail, and in the second form, there's two separate hashtags, one for the entity name and one for the word fail. So example here, of course, is shown on the screen, again, in reference to the iPhone 4 mess. Sorry, not to harp on Apple products or whatever. So we predominantly use the isDown heuristic in our calculation because the fail heuristic tends to be more ambiguous. People will express, for example, that they'll use the hashtag fail in reference for, when you use the iPhone in San Francisco or New York, for example. So it's a little bit noisier of a signal. So the nice thing about these predicates is that they also give us subject detection. So we can determine the subject by literally taking the word immediately preceding the phrase is down and the word co-occurring with the fail hashtag. It's pretty simple. And to verify this intuition, what we did was we went and we extracted all the tweets that were posted within a 36-hour window around those five known outages shown on the screen. We extracted the two words closest to the service name, so closest to the word Gmail or Hotmail, and then we just tabulated the counts. So it just shows us, basically this table is showing you that isDown is in the top five, and it gives us a pretty good marker for the service name as well. So now that we have our mechanisms in place, it's very basic and pretty simple, but even without even deploying it, we could already foresee circumstances where this would just produce a lot of noise. In particular, there are two situations where our detection will be noisy. The first source of noise comes from when people are tweeting about a service being down when it's not actually down. For example, the user on the screen is saying that YouTube is down. It could be a localized error, but I would expect more tweets to emerge. At least when I checked from my end, it wasn't down. So in order to deal with this sort of background noise that may be radiating from these services at any given time, we're going to use an exponentially weighted moving average. So we didn't invent this. This is commonly used in anomaly detection literature. And so, yeah, we're going to use that in our work. The second source of noise comes from when a subject is not an internet service. That is, for example, this tweet is about kicking a man when he is down in reference to Tiger Woods during his mischief scandal. So here the subject is not an internet service, and this is another source of noise. So to handle this, we check to make sure that for the same entity, tweets containing the phrase is down and the hashtag fail both occur within some time window. The intuition being, for example, that someone might tweet that crime is down, but they're not also going to use the hashtag fail to describe crime. Well, unless you're a criminal, you might do that. So this is a very high-level description of our methodology that we use. Shown on the screen here is the Gmail outage, the count of tweets matching the is down heuristic, and the time has been into 5-minute windows. We compute an EWMA on the count of tweets matching the is down heuristic, and then we compute a smooth variance using the EWMA and the current count. And then lastly, we compute a threshold using the EWMA and the variance, the details of which are all in the paper. Not super important, but yeah, you can look in the paper for the actual calculations. We check for consecutive threshold violations, and then we signal an outage when that occurs. And then, like I said before, we can also incorporate in the fail predicate to filter out more false positives. That depends if you really care about that, which some of you might. Of course, there's a bunch of parameters in those equations that we need to tune, the EWMA, the smooth variance, and the threshold. And in order to see the effects of tuning those parameters, we need to create a validation set. So we didn't have we had to basically do this by hand. And what we did was we basically searched for outages affecting the 6 services shown on the screen. And we also checked their maintenance blogs. Surprisingly, like Ning and LiveJournal and Flickr all have pretty good maintenance blogs that give us detailed events or descriptions of times of known outages. And sorry, just to back up for a second, when I refer to an outage, we're not differentiating between a planned or unplanned downtime. If users tweeted about it and it was down, it was down. So using the validation set, we computed F scores for various parameter combinations. We tweaked bin sizes, we tweaked the signal detection parameters, and the number of bin count violations. And what we ultimately found is that we went with 2 consecutive threshold violations to raise an alarm. The reason why we did this was 1 had a lot of false positives and 3 had a lot of false negatives. So with our framework in place, we can look at some known events to really look to assess false positives and false negatives on widespread outages. So we picked 8 well-known events and ran our detection methodology to see how it did. In particular, I'm going to focus again on the Gmail outage. So shown on the screen here is the number of tweets matching the is down heuristic during the outage. The yellow line corresponds to when the Google actually reported the outage is occurring. Note that, like on their blog, the first instance you can find of when them mentioning that Gmail is down is about 1:15. The post mentioning at what time the outage approximately occurred was posted at approximately 7 o'clock that day. So this is an approximation. Now the EWMA curve is shown on the screen. You can see how it smooths out the is down count. And then lastly, you can see how the threshold adjusts according to the is down count and the EWMA. So the 2 threshold violations occur, 1 is a little bit small, and then we raise a signal on the second threshold violation. The good news is that we detected all 8 events in the ones that we were looking at. We also detected all 8 events using the fail heuristic, although some of the detection times were delayed. The bad news is that the time to detect varies anywhere from 10 to 50 minutes, and it increases even more if we have to wait for a tweet with a fail hashtag. And some possible delay causes. I like to think that the news reports are imprecise. For one thing, news reports often had conflicting times at which they reported the outage occurred. So to be conservative, I basically just took the earliest one. And then the second possible delay is that we need better outage tweet detection. That is, so I looked at more closely at the tweets that occurred around 12:30, closer to the 12:30 window, and I found that a lot of people were asking whether other people were having problems with Gmail. So again, if we had a better outage detection tweet mechanism, we could probably improve our delay detection time. This is in contrast to making a definitive statement that Gmail is down. So now that we have some sense that our techniques work, we can then deploy our methodology on the entire corpus to see what pops out, what events stand out that we have no clue about. We first extracted all the tweets that expressed either is down or fail, and we had about 1 million tweets in our corpus. And without even checking for the fail predicate, we already saw a certain false positive. So we found 5,000 outages spread over 1,500 entities. But looking at those 1,500 entities, we could see that we had a fair number of false positives. But you can see how all these words sort of work in the context of the phrase is down. So attendance is down, demand is down, tourism is down. You see how that all works. In order to handle these situations, we incorporated in the fail heuristic. Basically, what we did was we said that if a fail occurred within 30 minutes of the signal, this reinforced the signal, and we said that that's the point at which we would flag the outage. This produced about 900 outages spread across 245 entities. 245 entities is, you know, a fair number of entities to go ahead and manually inspect. What we basically found was that our heuristics are not robust to sporting events. For example, USC, Liverpool, Federer. And if any of you are following the World Cup, of course, these things also cause problems for our system as well. So you can see like where some of these false positive entities come from. And there was no way that we were going to inspect all 900 outages. So what we did was we decided we'd look at a few subsets of the outages to get a sense of how our system is performing. Can't really do much about false negatives, but at least we can look at false positives. So we begin with the top 50 outages as defined by the number of is downs that occur within a 12-hour window of the signal. So there's a lot going on the screen, and I don't expect you guys to all understand it. But it sort of gives you a sense of the magnitude and the different types of services represented. It's a jumble of events, but a lot of the Google properties are well represented. And in particular, YouTube makes a frequent appearance in this particular graph. It just seems that Google properties elicit the most vociferous reactions from the Twitter community. I'm sorry, I should differentiate. We have confirmed and unconfirmed outages. What we mean by confirmed is that we were able to find a secondary source validating that particular outage. So we found a message board posting, a forum posting, or a blog posting also referencing the same outage and the day it occurred. And like I said before, YouTube was top with 11, and of those, 9 of them were confirmed, and at least 2 are very plausible, just by the pure volume of isdown tweets that were mentioned in YouTube. But the weird thing is that we had 9 Twitter service disruptions. That's pretty weird. How can we detect Twitter outages when we're using the Twitter social network? Well, what we noticed was that errors really tend to be transient. Users might try to post 1 minute, and then the next minute, it'll be suddenly available. But what we also noticed is that a lot of these tweets regarding the Twitter outage were conducted via third-party applications. And I've never built one, but I mean, I'm supposing what they do is they queue up your tweets and then push them. Whoa.
Don't say bad things about
Twitter. Whoa. Am I too? Hello? Okay, is this okay? Yeah, all right. So third-party applications, they queue up those posts and then push them out when the service comes back online. So there was a lot of example tweets that came from third-party applications in our data set. So these were huge events, and it's no surprise they were able to detect them. A lot of them probably made headlines in the news. As a consequence, then we just basically looked at the 50 random outages, which more accurately reflects our success rate, or at least our false positive rate. So shown on the screen right here is a graph. You can see that that's roughly 2 orders of magnitude smaller. And again, the orange lines correspond to confirmed events, and the gray lines, which you, I don't know if you can see, correspond to unconfirmed outages. And a whole spectrum of services are represented. A lot of social media sites, there's a payment processor in there, Wikipedia is in there, Etsy, which sells handmade goods. So a whole host of, and a lot of hosting, several hosting services are represented in the 50 random outages. So of the 50 random outages, we were able to confirm 35 of them. Like I said before, we found some secondary source validating the outage. They span a whole variety of services. ASFL is an MMORPG I've never heard of. WoW is WoW. And Authorize.net is a payment processor, Netflix, et cetera, et cetera. The list goes on. Of the unconfirmed, at least 3 look pretty plausible just based on the pure volume of tweets. Again, these are like 50, 60 plus. YouTube on the 619, Gmail on 413. And there was this Google Wave outage on November 16th. I originally thought Wave was a false positive entity. I didn't realize they were referring to Google Wave, so it didn't make a whole lot of sense when I thought about that, as Wave is down, doesn't make sense. So when I actually looked at the tweets regarding that outage, I found a couple gems. And this guy's sort of expressing the same thing that I thought. In any case, so we did all right on the random outages. But there are definitely opportunities to improve our methodology, which I'll touch on in the next slide. So in summary, in our talk, in our work, we really explored an application of online social networking data to service outages. We use really simple methods to identify important events. We see a lot of opportunities to improve our work. It's really a proof of concept and a really motivation for us to improve on it. The first thing that we need to improve upon is our outage tweet detection. We use really simple search terms. Although what's nice about those is that they're very easy to search for. And we also get the subject detection. So we can do things like LSA or build an SVM classifier. Of course, the problem is then we have to do subject detection. And we can also explore alternatives to EWMA for the event detection. So the WWW paper used a probabilistic method. Maybe we want to try that as an alternative as well. And then another thing that we'd really like to do is that we don't have to maintain a lot of state to do this. So we could very possibly do this in real time, make a site similar to Down for Everyone or Just Me, and using social networking data. But I think the big takeaway from this is that OSNs really serve as a rich multipurpose sensor networks, and that idea is very powerful. And we're excited to really see more papers emerging that really explore this, really harness the power of humans to solve old and new problems alike. And we just thought it was really cool that we could use the same data as the Japanese authors and really discover entirely new events. And really, the possibilities for this work are only limited by what people are saying. So with that being said, are there any questions? Show on the screen is a nice XKCD tweet that really, yeah. Okay. Let's jump into it. Yeah.
So you said you found 70% accuracy. Did you find anything in common with the 30% that you misclassified as an outage?
Well, the thing is, we can't say that they were misclassified, right? We just couldn't find any secondary source confirming it.
Okay.
Yeah, they were.
That you could not confirm, yeah. Was there anything in common?
Well, the thing is, like, there was a Hotmail outage, so it didn't have anything to do with how big the service, because we saw a Hotmail outage, we saw a LinkedIn outage that we were unable to confirm, so it's hard to say, it's just that.
So when you say you're not able to confirm, you went looking
for it on the internet.
Right, and you didn't find it.
And we didn't find it, yeah.
Right, and so you assume therefore that it's
just unconfirmed. I mean, I could say that, yeah, we misclassified it, but you can give us a little more credit than that, but it's hard to say, right? We don't know, and there was no secondary source that we could refer to that validated that. And Hotmail doesn't really maintain a maintenance blog, and neither did LinkedIn, so.
So you never contacted any of the sites to ask?
I mean, we could. Yeah, we could. I mean, that's definitely if we could get ground truth for, the nice thing about this, again, also, is that this is a global perspective, but if we could definitely get ground truth, then we could do a much better assessment of our accuracy. But for the time being, we didn't have that. So a lot of our ground truth we had to manually search for, and it was actually pretty painstaking.
Yeah, if you just look at Twitter and all the lights down so much, judging what the Twitter
does.
So actually, on the Twitter, it was private.
Mm-hmm.
You can space it down.
Mm-hmm.
Or AT&T is down.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, those are awesome links. So that.
Mm-hmm. Well, they'd probably more accurately use the fail hashtag for that, but yeah. But yeah, possibly, but yeah, it's down. Yeah. I could possibly, yeah. I mean, that's definitely something I should have, which is more zoomed in on that. I think we were just struggling to validate the set that we had. But yeah, definitely for the unconfirmed ones, we could definitely probably spend a little more time and zoom in on those, and yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe we are capturing more frustrations rather than the service experience a widespread outage. But yeah, yeah, that's possible. I thought about that malicious postings, but I couldn't think of a strong economic incentive to. Is it that we want to warp people's opinion on those things? I mean, the trust is, of course, an issue on any social networking data, right?
It's a random trigger cost.
Yeah. Yeah, it's possible that people could be posting maliciously.
Could it be possible?
Oh. Yeah.
That's why I was asking it. So the reason I was asking the 30% is, if, for example, you found that attack vectors, right? That would be a reason why you couldn't
Yeah. I mean, that's certainly something that we could consider. Yeah, I guess they could very possibly be trying to influence public sentiment about a company and maybe even lower their stock price.
Yeah. And people want to diss their company.
Yeah.
The fastest way to do that is to spam through Twitter.
Yeah, that's...
It's picked up, and by the time it's confirmed, you know, the company has to go issue press releases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's certainly an application. We weren't looking at the security, or we weren't looking at the reliability of the users. But yeah, that's possible. That'd be interesting to look at too. No, that's certainly something else that we could do. Looking at the geotag tweets, I mean, Brendan has more experience with the geotagging. A very tiny fraction of them seem to have, the geotag. Yeah, so. A single person? Oh, okay. Yeah, we could definitely see how geotagging, if that help us to look at localized errors, which would be pretty cool to look at as well, figure out where outages or router failures perhaps are occurring in the world. Yeah, that's what I was referring to. Like, yeah, I mean, if a critical mass of people are saying is down in a localized area, then we're going to assume that widespread outage is occurring. So we don't take into account geotagged, geolocated information. But yeah, that's certainly something we can incorporate in. And then, you know, try to make it, you know, if we see a lot of tweets emanating from one region but not from other places, then, yeah, we could definitely take that into account. And you had a second part or just one part?
Yeah, the second part is for the non-availability of the service. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You get this timeline when people tweeted. Can't that act as a code that the server was available or not available? A timeline when people did not tweet about a certain thing is enough a factor if you have a right key term to say that the server was down.
So you're saying, like, looking at the opposite when the server is up, that could be an easier problem? Is that
what I'm saying is if the server was really down,
I don't think I'm understanding the question. So maybe.
You can analyze Twitter based on looking at how people tweet, but if you're using a secondary service that is actually going to get posting later, then I don't think you would have the gap. I think you can time stamp the tweets so you can post something that's backdated. But that only works for.
I didn't understand the question, so I could talk about it afterwards. Yeah, okay. I saw a hand over here. No?
Okay.
Good.